The Queen's Necklace. Two or three times each year, on occasions of unusual importance, such as the balls at the Austrian embassy or the soirees of Lady Billingstone, the Countess of Dreux-Soubise wore upon her white shoulders the Queen's Necklace. It was indeed the famous necklace, the legendary necklace, that Bohmer and Bassenge, court jewelers, had made for Madame du Barry, the veritable necklace that the Cardinal de Rohan-Soubise intended to give to Marie Antoinette, Queen of France, and the same that the adventurous Jeanne de Valois, Countess de la Motte, had pulled to pieces one evening in February 1785 with the aid of her husband and their accomplice, Retaux de Villette. To tell the truth, the mounting alone was genuine. Retaux de Villette had kept it whilst the Count de la Motte and his wife scattered to the four winds of heaven the beautiful stones so carefully chosen by Bohmer. Later, he sold the mounting to Gaston de Dreux-Soubise, nephew and heir of the cardinal, who repurchased the few diamonds that remained in the possession of the English jeweler Jeffreys, supplemented them with other stones of the same size but of much inferior quality, and thus restored the marvelous necklace to the form in which it had come from the hands of Bohmer and Bassenge. For nearly a century, the house of Dreux-Soubise had prided itself upon the possession of this historic jewel. Although adverse circumstances had greatly reduced their fortune, they preferred to curtail their household expenses rather than part with this relic of royalty. More particularly, the present count clung to it as a man clings to the home of his ancestors. As a matter of prudence, he had rented a safety deposit box at the Crédit Lyonnais in which to keep it. He went for it himself on the afternoon of the day on which his wife wished to wear it, and he himself carried it back next morning. On this particular evening, at the reception given at the Palais de Castile, the Countess achieved a remarkable success, and King Christian, in whose honor the fête was given, commented on her grace and beauty. The thousand facets of the diamonds sparkled and shone like flames of fire about her shapely neck and shoulders, and it is safe to say that none but she could have borne the weight of such an ornament with so much ease and grace. This was a double triumph, and the Count de Dreux was highly elated when they returned to their chamber in the old house of the Faubourg Saint-Germain. He was proud of his wife, and quite as proud, perhaps, of the necklace that had conferred added luster to his noble house for generations. His wife, also, regarded the necklace with an almost childish vanity, and it was not without regret that she removed it from her shoulders and handed it to her husband, who admired it as passionately as if he had never seen it before. Then, having placed it in its case of red leather, stamped with the cardinal's arms, he passed into an adjoining room, which was simply an alcove or cabinet that had been cut off from their chamber, and which could be entered only by means of a door at the foot of their bed. As he had done on previous occasions, he hid it on a high shelf amongst hat boxes and piles of linen. He closed the door and retired.